Let me take us from the market floor to the ocean floor, because the coral reef discovery off the coast of Benin is genuinely one of the more remarkable scientific stories of the year. Marine biologists using underwater drones discovered a thriving mesophotic coral ecosystem. Mesophotic means middle light, referring to depths between about 30 and 150 meters on the Gulf of Guinea continental shelf off Benin's coast. This reef was presumed dead or non-existent for 60 years based on earlier surveys. The fact that it's not only alive but thriving suggests that some reef systems may be more resilient to surface temperature changes than shallower reefs because deeper ecosystems experience less thermal stress from warming events.
The policy implications of that finding are interesting because a significant portion of coral conservation funding and protective regulation has been focused on shallow reef systems that are directly observable and heavily studied. Discovering that mesophotic reefs exist and persist in regions where they were written off could shift both scientific attention and conservation resource allocation. It also raises the question of how many other dead ecosystems might be alive in understudied ocean zones.
NASA administrator's statement that Artemis III remains on track despite a Blue Origin explosion is worth unpacking carefully. Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket experienced an explosion. The details on whether this was a test explosion or a launch failure are still being sorted out. And Blue Origin's Blue Moon lander is a key component of the Artemis III crewed lunar landing mission. NASA saying it's on track suggests either that the explosion was in a system not critical to the Artemis timeline, or that NASA has a contingency plan, or, and this is a real possibility, that NASA is managing expectations to avoid congressional panic about schedule and budget. The Artemis program has slipped its schedule multiple times already.
Trump ordering a probe of the National Academy of Sciences over what he called fraudulent climate guidance is a significant escalation in the administration's approach to federal science institutions. The NAS is not a government agency. It's a private nonprofit chartered by Congress that provides independent scientific advice. The president accusing it of fraud and threatening its federal funding crosses a line that previous administrations, even skeptical ones, generally avoided. If federal funding for the NAS is actually cut or conditioned on changing its scientific conclusions, you'd be looking at a direct interference with scientific independence that would have consequences for how the U.S. is perceived internationally as a science-based regulatory environment.
The FCC broadband maps overhaul passing the Senate with bipartisan support is a quieter story, but one with real practical consequences. The current FCC broadband maps are notoriously inaccurate. They rely on self-reported data from internet service providers, who have an obvious incentive to claim coverage in areas they don't actually serve well. This matters because federal broadband infrastructure funding is allocated based on those maps. If the maps say an area is covered when it isn't, rural and underserved communities miss out on funding they're entitled to. Fixing the maps is a prerequisite for fixing the underlying investment problem.
Post-tropical cyclone Elida, driving unusual humidity and high surf along the California coast, is a reminder of how climate systems are creating weather patterns in regions not historically associated with tropical moisture. A high surf advisory running through Tuesday night in areas that rarely see tropical origin swells is the kind of anomaly that meteorologists are increasingly linking to shifting ocean temperature patterns in the eastern Pacific.